T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here is Chris Tannehill.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Great returns of guys you really liked when they were here. This is one of them for me, and there haven't been many who were in the position of coach who came back and I said, you know, I really want to watch the ceremony, the video tribute that they're going to do at the UC tonight on that wonderful new Jumbotron.
And I think back, and I think in 2010, I think of Philly. And I think immediately, I think Kaner the magician making the puck disappear.
Here's Kane now, juking his way to the right, low left corner. Should he score? Oh, no, that's turned wide by Leighton. Loose puck in the crease. And now it's in the net. They score!
It's in!
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup! The Hawks win the Stanley Cup!
2013, I think it's 17 seconds.
Two goals in 17 seconds from a 2-1 deficit, a 3-2 lead.
And this one will go down, and it will be, in my memory, is what made it this cup. The best memory is all about team.
The episodes in life that last so many years in memory are measured in fleeting moments as they happen. Joel Quenneville celebrates with his team. Patiently waiting are the Lightning. Normally, for the handshake line, it is the captains who lead them.
A thunderous ovation to one of the great sports icons in one of the great sports cities in America, Chicago.
All he did was win here, and he took a very young, inexperienced, but talented Blackhawk team, molded them, added a few pieces, and then the Cubs followed.
Great job by the Blackhawks as we come back. The honoring video for Joel Quenneville, and the reaction evident. We love it. Would be an understatement, right?
1,000%.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Yeah, let's do this. McNeil and Parkins on The Score. Hell of a night last night.
Lock and load. Do you know where that's from? I didn't know where. I mean, I didn't know where. Nope. I was, for as far as I'm concerned, it's from the McNeil and Parkin Show since we've been together for almost 2 years. And recently it came up in a movie. I'm watching a movie and I'm like, hey, I know that. You stole that from Tanny's music library. You can't take that out of his metal shop.
Well, you have been referencing this movie quite frequently lately, and I was wondering we were going to come back around to it. But Danny, do you know what it's from? You can take a guess.
Lock and load?
Yeah. Saddle up, lock and load. What does it sound like someone's ready to go do?
Kill someone.
Yeah, it does.
Goodfellas?
When do you,
nope.
Well, that's one place you can kill somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
What's happening here?
It's a war picture. I was getting ready for 1917, so yeah. I went back and watched a couple of On the Front Line movies I like to prepare from it. It's from Oliver Stone's Platoon.
Hang on, Dan. Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, Dan, take another guess.
Play the Grobstein game? Yeah. Nope.
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 Yeah, Danny, just keep going.
Platoon, okay.
Yeah, it's from Platoon. Tom Berenger's character.
Tom Berenger,
yeah.
Wow.
Yep, Tom Berenger. What the hell was he? He was at Barnes. Corporal Barnes? Was it Corporal? Sergeant Barnes? Sergeant Barnes.
Yes, Sergeant Barnes.
Don't disrespect
the one man. Of the most satisfying deaths in movie history was Sergeant Barnes. I enjoyed seeing Chris Taylor plug him 3 times as he was pleading for the youngster to get him a medic.
Spoiler alert if you haven't got there yet.
Right.
Yeah, if
you're 32 years late.
God, everyone steals from Chris Tannehill.
I know,
it's not just the producers around here. Oliver Stone in Platoon, my God.
Fun fact, maybe you'll get a little more respect for the movie The Revenant, but Tom Hardy said he based the way his character spoke, everything, the inflections off of Tom Berenger's character in Platoon.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's you know, I need to see The Revenant a second, maybe a third time. I think I've seen it twice. I need to see that again.
I was just going to say, it might be about time for me to rewatch it, but it was such a joyless movie-going experience when I saw it the first time. So I have no interest in rewatching this movie.
Yeah, if we ever do an animal attack draft, that would get it, yeah. I felt bad. I'm a Leo fan, as you are.
Yeah.
Leo was getting tossed around in the jaws of that large mammal. But I thought it was over.
You couldn't see anything. I mean, it was just all like dark and smoky. I'm like squinting in the movie theater. I'm like, this is intentional. It's ridiculous.
I remember everybody just applauding the scenery. You know, God, it's just so beautiful. Everything's so beautiful. That's great. You can watch, you know, National Geographic Channel and just with no sound, no script to get scenery. I need a little bit more.
Maybe the juxtaposition, beautiful scenery with incredibly tragic and horrifying events happening around you simultaneously. I think there's, I like that element to it.
I gotta rewatch it because I certainly did not appreciate it in the theater. I legitimately thought that the screen needed to be adjusted for brightness. I was like, so something isn't right here. I should be able to see more details as to what's going on. And then he won the award.
Yes.
I'm like, how did you tell that he was doing a great job? So I have some news, but top of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. It's all sponsored around here. You want your youth hockey team to play in front of thousands? Make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn more. I'm a dad. He's here. Owen Daniel Parkins, born at just 31 weeks, 4 days. This past Friday, 4 pounds, 7 ounces. And Steph is home, healthy and recovering. Got her home on Sunday, just before kickoff of the AFC Championship game, which was awesome. So, Owen, a little good luck charm. Like, not like Pat Mahomes and the Andy Reid tree need it. You know what I'm saying? They covered the spread. Thank you very much, Owen. But
there it is. Your first intertwining of your child with something sports related.
That is exactly right. Yeah, no, it'll take a... People already were like, oh, you named him after Wisconsin Badger legend Owen Daniels. So it's like, I can promise you that I did not do that. So he is still in the NICU over at Prentice, and they are amazing, and he is going to be there a while. And man, it is quite a thing. Like it is a juxtaposition of celebration and happiness and elation, because it is, of course, a joyous occasion. Like, the correct thing to do is to congratulate you, right? But let me tell you something, it's really hard going home from the hospital without your baby.
Yeah, Danny, I cannot, and everybody, our listeners over the last several days, over the last couple of weeks, have expressed enormous concern for you, and it's genuine. Even people who don't like you comment regularly to us via text. Well, yesterday for 4 hours, Monday when Shep and I were here for 2 hours, all of last week, the 4 days when you were not here, there is, you know, during tough times, sometimes people, you know, people show their best. And we've seen a lot of that from our listeners. And I can't imagine how unnerving it has to be for you and Steph and your parents and her parents because of the helplessness that you have to feel. There's nothing you can do, man.
Yeah, you know, it's very humbling in a lot of ways. And, I mean, I remember, you know, Shep becoming a dad and him talking about it, and it's life-changing, and everyone that you talk to says your life changes and you stop being selfish and you start being selfless. And the moment that baby comes out, it's real for the father, it's real for the mom at the time that the pregnancy test comes back positive and all that. But yeah, man, it's just, even though so many people go through these premature births, and I've heard from so many people in our audience, someone in our audience actually found one of Steph's baby registries and sent us a gift, which, wow, thank you very much, but totally unnecessary. Like, if me sharing this story moves you in a way for action, like, please, 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 please do not think that you guys need to do anything for us. We are very fortunate and secure and have an amazing support system.
What'd you get?
They got a basket for the nursery with some items of clothes and a blanket. I mean, I don't.
That's so sweet.
It was so unbelievably nice. We're like, who are these people? But then there was a note in it that said they had heard our story on the radio and just wanted to send it along. And It was so nice. Like, I'm not ungrateful for it in any way, but like, please, if you would like to, if you want to do anything, there's a foundation called the Jackson Chance Foundation over at Prentice. It's amazing. I didn't know anything about it, but parking at the hospital is really expensive, even for people who are at the hospital where they will validate your parking. But it can still be, it's downtown Chicago, right? It can still be $25-$30 a day with validation. The Jackson Chance Foundation was started by a family whose child was in the NICU for a long time and did not survive. And they, if you want to go back and visit your child every day, even with the parking validation, it could add up. And so they came to an agreement with the hospital and Water Tower Place. And now if your child is in the NICU, parking free for the duration of the stay. And it's just one thing that's not covered by insurance, but to knock down the cost. And there are lots of incredible things like that to support families who are going through this. And I want to say on the front end, like, Owen is doing great. He is breathing on his own. He is in the 86th percentile weight wise for a baby born in the 31st week of gestation. I'm learning all sorts of new things. Like, I didn't know about Billy Rubin. First of all, I thought it was spelled like an old Jewish man, and then I was thinking maybe like a sandwich.
The sandwich, him.
Yeah, but it, you know, his liver isn't functioning like your and mine's function. So he's got to be under this crazy blue light, and he's got to wear kind of a mask over his eyes to protect his eyes. And it's just a, it's a thing to see your child with a feeding tube and then a mask for oxygen and then stuff over his eyes to protect him from this light and then an IV in his arm and then sensors all over his body and these leads and all of these things. And it's a real feeling of helplessness. And then people say, well, why are you here, like at work? Multiple people have said that to me today. So I don't know what else really to do. You can't be there 24/7. I mean, they would allow you to be, but the NICU is not a private hospital room. Like when Steph was in the hospital for a week leading up to delivery, I stayed there 24/7. I slept on the couch. We were there the whole time. But the NICU, it's kind of semi-private. It's more of a, it's more function over comfort. I mean, there's 4 or 5 machines around him. He's hooked up to a monitor 24/7. There's 6 other babies in similar ages, like in his pod of rooms. There's 64 babies in the NICU. Like, it's meant for keeping these babies alive who are supposed to still be inside and developing and learning, you know, how to breathe on their own. Thankfully, Owen's breathing on his own. How to control body temperature on their own. How to have their liver process things correctly on their own. How to eat on their own. All sorts of things. So we go there every day. We're there 4 hours in the morning. We are there for rounds. We are there for feedings. We each get to hold him for an extended period of time. But they want him to stay in the incubator, you know, because that helps with the climate control. And so, I mean, I sent you guys some pictures. It's just a, it's a tough thing seeing your baby all wired up like that.
Oh, goodness.
Even though every report that we've gotten has been positive, but they say it's like how Theo Epstein would talk about prospects, like progression isn't necessarily linear. That's kind of how this is going to be. They'll say he'll take 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 1 step to the side, and there's going to be a lot of frustrations along the way. They try to prepare you for the baby's original due date, which is March 16th. So he could be in the hospital for a couple of months, and he could obviously be longer. We're obviously hoping for shorter. But so I don't know if I will be here every day. It kind of depends on how Owen's checkup is each morning for his previous 24 hours, and then how Steph is doing both mentally and physically. But today she was feeling good and kind of wanted just some peace and quiet at home. And you can't just sit there in the hospital and stare at your baby all wired up with all the sounds beeping the whole time. Like, you kind of have to live your life and then prepare for and get yourself prepared for when Owen's able to come home, which is when my paternity leave will actually officially start. And Mitch has been great. If I wanted to take off every single day that he was in the NICU and then start paternity leave when he comes home, I know that you and Shep and Tanny would support that, and I know Mitch and Entercom would support it. They've all already told me that. But I don't think that would be the healthiest thing for me.
Yes. So. I've been waiting to interject. And
I'm spewing here. I apologize.
No, yeah, everybody's loving you for it, or at least loving what you're saying. Maybe not you necessarily.
That's okay.
For those of us who never, you know, had to go through this, I think what would enlighten people is people wondering why you're here specifically.
Yeah.
Share with them the limited contact, because, you know, so many of us who were fortunate go home
right.
2 days later and my son's in my arms and I'm changing his diapers and it's overnight with him and feeding. You don't have that luxury and won't for a little while.
Right. So when Owen was born and we didn't have the name final, we had it down to final three. And so when baby boy Parkins was born, it's still how he's labeled on all of the monitors and stuff like that. It's kind of funny. But they said, all right, because it was very, once it got to be very quick, it was very, very, very quick. They said, we're giving you 30 seconds when the baby comes out. So baby was born at 5:14:10. The doctor who delivers it announces the time. 10 seconds, like as if that's where the second hand was on the clock. Lift the baby out, put baby on mom's chest. Mom gets to hug the baby, lift baby up, set up the umbilical cord for dad to cut it. Dad cuts the umbilical cord. That happens in like 24 seconds, something like that. And then baby's gone. Like baby's off with the NICU team on the other side of the room, and they're doing all sorts of stuff to stabilize the baby. And I go with the baby, and then before they're taking him out of the room, I go back and kiss Steph and, you know, say that. And I was like, do you want me to be with you or with the baby? And she goes, go with the baby. So Steph and I, after birth, were separated for a couple of hours because I was with Owen watching them do all of the tests to stabilize him and get him ready. And now they want, you know, so they're able, they it's called kangaroo time because he like lays on your chest kind of like as if it was a kangaroo pouch for the skin-to-skin contact.
A marsupial.
Yeah. But so like that's important for bonding and for comfort between your premature baby and the parents. But the best thing for the baby is to be in the incubator because then they're not moving. It's climate controlled. They can regulate the baby's temperature, and you don't want to stir the baby up and have them burn calories on unnecessary things because you want them to be growing, right? And developing stuff. So like if we could sit there in the hospital and hold him in our arms for 16 hours a day, we would be holding him in our arms for 16 hours a day. But they don't really want you to be doing that. So it depends on where he's at with the stuff and the checkups and the day-to-day of can you have him out for 1 3-hour stretch? Could you maybe have him out for 2 3-hour stretches and all that? So right now he's out for just these 1 2.5 3-hour stretches. And so we're there for that. And it's amazing, man. Like there's an app where you can access his chart, and there's a direct number to the nursing station where you can call and get updates. They say, you know, if you're up at 2 a.m. pumping and you want to check in on your baby, call here and you get right to your nurse, and your nurse will give you an update on what's going on. But there, it's just it's a feeling of being powerless and helpless. And also, let's be honest, like you're supposed to go to the classes for baby CPR and meet all of, like, we didn't meet the doctor who delivered the baby until she was delivering the baby because we hadn't gotten to that appointment yet, right? Mm-hmm. Tours of the hospital, breastfeeding classes, all of these things that you're supposed to do in the third trimester. You know, he's here 8.5, 9 weeks early. So part of it too is got to go set up the nursery, got to go get ready to bring him home. And so like the right brain, left brain stuff that's going on right now is like the emotional side is you want to be there 24/7. You want to be with your baby. You want to be comforting your baby whenever anything is happening. But the logical side is we got to get ourselves like emotionally, physically recovered and ready, and then the house set up and all of that, because right now he's got 24/7 round the clock doctor care, nursing care, and we don't have any of these machines at home. You know what I mean? So like he's not ready to come home. He's supposed to be inside, so he needs to be there. And so it's just a balancing act. It's a balancing act. It's unconventional, but it is celebratory. Like I want to stress that. Like we are grateful. He is doing great. All signs point to he will be totally fine, but you just don't know.
Yeah. You know, knowing you, I think as well as I do. I just, we're not boobies, but we're close to that.
Yeah, of course.
I know you well enough, and I think the guys on the other side of the glass would feel similarly. If they don't, feel free to speak up, Shep and Tanny. you would be driven to madness if you were just staying at home for extended periods of time. And isolation only increases that feeling of separation from your son, from your job, from your life. You would go crazy if you didn't get a chance to come in here, even if it's just 2 or 3 days a week for the next several weeks until he comes home.
So yeah, and that,
you take what you want, man.
I appreciate it, and that's what it might end up being. And who knows, man? Like, hopefully, every single day at those rounds when we meet with, and I will never miss one. I will be there every day. Hopefully, when these team of 7 to 10 doctors come through every morning and they give the 24-hour report. Hopefully, every single day will be progress, and every single day we will feel comfortable for me to come in here, and it'll just be a straight arrow up towards he comes home, and then paternity leave will start, and I'll get out of your guys' hair for a couple of weeks. But obviously, much more likely is that it'll be a step forward, a step to the side, a step back, 2 steps forward, and all that, and we'll figure it out. And this is therapeutic for me. You were my first favorite radio host. You shared and lived your life on the air. Howard Stern shared, lived his life on the air. Not that I'm putting myself in either of your guys' categories, but I will say it's been helpful and therapeutic to hear, A, to talk about it like this. And then also, I mean, I can show you my messages on Twitter. It's dozens of them of just people. I was born at 24 weeks, and even though I'm a degenerate gambler, I think I turned out okay. Or like, my sons were born at 28 weeks, and this happened, and now they're great. And one of my best friends, they brought their baby home after 41 days in the NICU on New Year's Eve. Then this happened with us on January 17th. They've been a great resource. I was texting with Jason Goff. He's been, we haven't exchanged a ton of messages, but he's been great. He went through it here, Score Family, knows about Jay and Jace and all of that. Like, it's been really nice to see all of these people sharing all of these stories, and it's reassuring, but it's doesn't make it any less scary in the moment, as it's obviously happening to you, your wife, and your son.
It's good to see you. And
it's good to be here.
Those of you who, there's no way Danny's going to be able to get back to the several hundred of you who have texted since we started talking, but I know he appreciates it. And those, especially those of you who have shared similar stories and, stories of hope and stories about things that that worked out for the best, and that's what my radio son needs to hear today. So
it's great.
Thank you. I say thank you, and I know he does too.
No, it's been amazing, and you guys, the Score family, has been fantastic, both in the building and out. Heard from basically everyone who works here, even if it was just a text.
It was
helpful. No, it's been great. Honestly, it's really cool, and I appreciate it. Very much. And how about that Pat Mahomes, son?
We'll get to Pat Mahomes.
He could have been here. Has it been mentioned?
No, who the hell cares?
No.
I'm just wondering.
No, nobody has had that thought.
All right, I wasn't
put
sure.
Put a trigger warning on Mac whenever you mention that.
Okay.
I came out of the gate swinging on Monday, upset at Ryan Pace. I'm like, you know what? There's 4 offensive tackles playing in the Super Bowl this year, and 3 of them were taken in the first round. The other is going to be taken in the second round. What a concept.
Yeah.
Mac didn't want to hear me go off on Ryan
Pace.
He wanted to talk about
Twitter world. It's me, O.J. Mahomes.
we took a different tack because everybody's talking about Mahomes. They've been doing it for the last 5 months, for the last 21 months, whatever it's been. Everyone's talked about Deshaun Watson. Shep and I get in the trenches and sing the praises of McGlinchey, of Staley,
sure.
Of Schwartz, not Schwarz, Schwartz, of Jumbo. We talk about those big uglies who the Bears never want to draft because we are unique, Shep and me.
I'm glad I'm back. Save y'all from that. This hour on The Score brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. It's McNeil and Park. It's on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Danny Mac and Dan Parker Show.
Yes.
Afternoons on the Score.
Oh, yeah. Bringing back an oldie but a goodie.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves face Manitoba Saturday, February 1st. The first 2,500 fans to enter the Allstate Arena receive an Oscar Dansk bobblehead. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com.
Who can it be now on our telephone line, the Alpamonte Ford hotline? Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. You got 10 more days to sing the praises of the great Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and we'll get to it. But I thought it would make sense today. We got a few people in here to say hello and wish you, Steph, and Owen nothing but the best. Maybe a guy who brought a son into the world a while back. Mystery guest, good afternoon and welcome to the Score.
It won't be much of a mystery, I'm sure, for long. But Danny, Len Casper here. I want to welcome you to the fraternity.
Yeah, happy birthday, Len. Happy birthday, buddy.
Well, thank you. That's not why I called, though. I just want to congratulate you and Steph. And I know it's been a trying time, but it's a wonderful time. And Owen is now, as you know, the most important person in the entire world for you. And hopefully they'll be home from the hospital relatively soon. And I'll give you one piece of advice, and I'm sure your partner can back me up on this. But once you and Steph and Owen are all at home together, and family members offer to come over and watch your son while you and Steph go do something unrelated or sleep, take it. Please take it, because the biggest mistake we made is, oh, we've got it figured out. You know, thanks for the offer, but we'll take care of everything. You're going to need sleep, and you're going to need some time for yourselves, because, as you know, your entire life has just changed completely.
Well, thank you, Len. That is that's beautiful. I appreciate the text we've exchanged also. I apologize for not getting back to everybody right away. Your phone blows up when this sort of news spreads. But
what's up with that? Danny is apologizing to me, Mac, for texting me back like 10 hours after I texted him. You should apologize for apologizing.
Yeah.
You should not have to get back to anybody right now, Danny. This is your life, man.
What I loved about him not getting back was you and I were coming off the ropes on how much fun running the football was Sunday and Parkins. It's maybe it just took him an hour to come up with a defense for it.
Yeah.
I don't know, for his style of play. But I enjoyed that enormously.
Yeah, man, the phone has been blowing up. But no, that advice is beautiful, Len. Thank you. And trust me, even if I wanted to say no, I have a Jewish mother. What would I do? She'll kick me out of that. She wants time to be a grandma too. So we have the support system we have around here, with starting with my parents and my younger sister and my older brother, and then my other sister's in California, but friends, family, it's been great. So we will certainly take that advice.
I would like to ask Len to comment on something, and he hit on something very key here. Once normalcy takes over in your life and Owen is home and there begins to be normalcy, treasure every experience. You know, I felt for this guy on our phone this past year because I related to it. When he and Pam, lucky enough to have a son, when he went to the University of Illinois and the nest is empty, you say, man, where did it go?
Yeah.
Because it does go fast. I mean, everything, whether it's Cub Scouts or band or soccer or Little League, cherish what they cherish. Even if it's not your flavor, cherish it and envelop yourself in it.
Well, I'm going to give you another piece of advice, Danny. I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it, and Mac will back me up on this because I heard his – and by the way, Mac, you're totally wrong on Tony Romo. However, your point about grammar is spot on, and the best piece of advice I got, and my dear wife Pam was great about this, and they spent a lot of time alone together when I was on the road. But when you talk to your son, don't say, Daddy wants you to do this. Say, I want you to do this. Verbally, he will be years ahead of other kids his age. We tend to talk to children who are 1, 2, and 3 years old like we talk to our pets. Daddy would like you to whatever. Grandma would like to just speak to them like they're an adult, and you will not believe how far ahead verbally he will be.
Okay,
that's great. Yeah, that is going to be. Len's playing the role of Rick Moranis in Parenthood when he says, why do we have to treat our children like they're adorable little morons?
It's confusing to a kid when you're speaking in the third person, because then they start to talk about themselves in the third person. They don't understand.
Yeah, like George likes his chicken spicy.
My niece once said, love me. And was like, love me, it's love you, and didn't understand the me and the you and the difference. So I'm telling you, if you speak to Owen like you speak to your partner on the air, he'll just kick butt when he's two, and he'll be using words that other kids at his age will not know.
Yeah, cursing and talking about point spreads. But okay, that's great advice. thank you, Len. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling, buddy.
You got it, guys. And one last thing, if I can just talk sports for a second.
Oh, sure.
The Quenneville return last night was one of the best sports moments that I can remember. As you know, I'm a hockey fan, but I would not have missed that first period and to see the reaction to him. I got goosebumps. That's, to me, one of the greatest things about sports. Loved it. Loved every second of it.
Were you there or watching on TV when they finally showed us?
I was watching on television.
Yeah, yeah. That was a gaffe. I guess NBC apologized for it today, but that doesn't excuse it, really. they missed the damn thing. Florida Panthers TV got it, but we didn't have it here.
It's a bad miss.
I just loved his reaction. Everything about the way he was touched, it really, really meant a lot. All right. Have a great show, Danny. Congrats.
Thanks, Len. I appreciate it.
See you guys.
See you, okay. Len. Bye-bye.
That is Len Casper with us on the Altamonte Ford Hotline. No, listen, everybody has advice. The idea of, like, talking to him in the first person and worried about his speech development, that still seems a little far down the road with where he is now, but his point is obviously a valid one. And no, it's thank you. It's been truly overwhelming, man. Like, it's you know, it's cool to see people rally around you, not in times of crisis, because I don't want to put it like that. Like, this is a happy
trying times.
Yeah, trying times. Like, this is a happy moment, but it is a trying time. And one of the things, and I know I was telling you this and telling Mitch it, is, you know, we do have a lot of help and support with my family and a huge group of friends here, and we're super lucky about that. But also, like, everyone wants to, you know, do something for us right away. Like, what can I do now? It's like, well, hold on. Like, he's actually not home. Like, don't – when you brought your child home 2-3 days after they were born and you needed that help right away, that's actually not exactly where we are. Like, we're going to need that help in 6-8 weeks, hopefully, when we bring Owen home. The good thing is Steph will be fully recovered physically, not the emotional part,
right,
but the
right.
physical part from the birth.
So what you're saying is hold your help, everybody.
Well, just, you know, it's been an interesting balancing act.
I imagine.
Like, everybody wants to come in from out of town, but you can't hold him. You know, like,
right.
the only people even allowed the skin-to-skin.
You got to be direct, I would think.
No, absolutely. But I'm just, it's just a thing that you don't think about in this, because it's non-traditional or whatever, right? Like, my mom and dad were the first people outside of Steph and I to meet Owen, which is exactly how I would want it. Do you know how hard it is for my mom not to hold him?
I can't imagine.
Like, it's so hard. And so, you know, we're sitting there and we're visiting and we're talking to him and she can hold his hand or hold his foot or something, but she can't hold him. And so it's the whole thing. It's just it's a challenging but beautiful and amazing time all together. And I think a lot of people, when they have a child, the emotions are almost all happiness, right? And positive.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit of scared for like, oh my God, my life's going to change. But yeah, it's like the good kind of scare, like before you go on a roller coaster. This is a different kind of scared, as in like, is he breathing? Can he eat? Can he maintain his body temperature?
What's his temp?
Yeah. What is this wire that's beeping mean? You know what I mean?
Did he lose 4 ounces of weight?
Right, which is to a high percentage of where he's supposed to. You know, so it's a different mind game that you're kind of playing with yourself right now. And yeah, I'm dealing with it as best I can. And Steph is doing amazing, but I am not at all naive to the fact that it's 100 times harder on her than it is on me.
Shep won the pool. Shep had your parents in the first at the hospital pool. Oh. Tanny and I both had Jimmy Conway and his wife Mickey because they were always the first to arrive. Sure. Good fellas.
Yeah, no, I know what you're doing. Thank you.
Good fellows.
Good fellows.
Good fellows.
Oh, this is the ridiculousness and nonsense I need. It's good to be back. McNeil and Park is on the score. Thanks for hanging out. McNeil and Parkins on the score. So how's it been?
It's been good. Just joining us, Danny Parkins and his wife Stephanie have a son named Owen.
That's right. I'm officially a dad.
Daddy!
He'll be in the NICU a while. If that's your thing, keep him in your thoughts. I appreciate everyone who has reached out. It's been amazing.
NICU,
man.
NICU.
What a place.
I can imagine.
It is crazy. Things they can do.
Yeah.
And then it's like you're getting ready to come back to work. And I'm like, so what are we going to be talking about? Cubs convention? Sox fest? Like, God. We always deal in the trivial. You call it the toy department. I love the nonsense. And like, I love it. And I love acknowledging that we deal in the nonsense. It's a distraction from everyone else's, you know, problems. And the best compliment people can give, I always tell people this, is if we make your day go by faster, it's the best compliment you can give the show. This is hopefully going to make my day go by a little bit faster.
I think it will, man. The number of people who texted during the first 40 minutes or so saying, I went through something similar.
Yeah.
I went through whenever people go through tragedy or trying times and they find relief from what we do, that is the most rewarding compliment we can receive. At least that's how I always have felt, and I think you kind of are on the same page.
No,
right?
there's no question about it. It's what we do. Our job is complete and utter nonsense.
And it is side dish season. Anything and everything. If you don't mind, I want a few minutes for college basketball today.
Oh, really?
If you don't mind,
oh,
yes.
By all means.
Just so I can say
Is Danny, he has to take the college tournament off because Chicago's not worthy of him being around it.
Perfect timing.
Are you worthy of speaking college basketball to Danny?
Perfect timing for when Owen comes home.
That is perfect. Yeah, no,
although you're going to want a hall pass, though, because you want to be in the bar.
Yeah, ooh, it's going to be tough.
Which of these things?
It might be a coincidence if Steph's mom comes in for the opening weekend of the tournament to offer a little bit of extra help for those 4 days. That might be completely coincidental. I don't know.
I just have been wanting to say this name for, 12, 15 hours now. Silvio D'Souza.
Do you think he would ever play again if he would have swung that chair? Because, he might still not play again.
Ooh.
Right? But like
that was
image.
Really ugly ass scene, man.
Well, and at Allen Fieldhouse, that's where the wheelchair accessible seating is. So it could
didn't grab one of those.
Well, it could have been 10 times worse. You know what I mean? It was really bad. The optics of it were terrible, but imagine if they would knocked over someone in a wheelchair and he swings that chair. It could have been way worse than it was.
Nobody was hurt, and really punches weren't significant. There was a chest stepped on. There was a Big Ten chest thumping last night. Stomping, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, the
thumping.
In the Illinois-Purdue game, right?
Yeah, but nobody really got hurt. It's funny. We were just talking with Will Purdue yesterday about how basketball players don't know how to fight. They're always just flailing, and then they get mad once there's separation, and it's like, hold me back, hold me back. back.
Carmelo Anthony leads the league in that, I think, all-time NBA history. And, like, fake hold-me-back tough guy moment. Like, oh, I would have came at you if Nazi Muhammad didn't get in the way.
Syracuse thing.
Yeah, definitely. a lot of fake tough guys up there.
It was a wrestling match when the Hawks had their morning skate yesterday. I don't know if you heard about that.
I heard about it. So Taves and Keith?
Taves and Keith, yeah. And Taves laughed it off afterward. No one knows. Nothing's been said about it. They're not going to say. I don't know.
So weird.
Just, guys are around each other a lot. In their line of work, you can do that sort of thing without getting a notice from HR. In our line of work, you can't. Which is unfortunate. I'd love to pull your jersey up over your head every now and again.
I imagine. I mean, we'd be a good team, right? On this show, your willingness to engage, my reach. We'd be very strong. That's true. Tanny is intimidating. We have four people on the show.
Tanny's intimidating, but he's so gentle. I don't know as of yet if he possesses the Neanderthal gene.
He's a gentle giant.
He is.
Yeah,
teddy bear. He's a big teddy bear.
Anyone care to find out?
I was scared as hell of him when I first my eyes first met his years
Likewise.
Back. Honestly? Really? You serious?
Your reputation precedes
it
you,
did.
As they say.
I think I'm not the only one on this side of the partition who would agree with that.
When
Danielle came aboard.
Yeah. I don't think it was the physical intimidation. I don't think you thought you were going to body slam him, but then maybe you were going to throw Sonys at him.
Yeah, exactly. World champion headphone tosser is what we had
Thank
heard.
Thank God the cart machines were out of the building by that time.
That's exactly right. Strangle you with my microphone cord.
I can't remember the last time I threw a piece of equipment. It hasn't happened. I
Shep can remember.
When I was taken off the air, probably, when Mitch took my helmet away with the paralyzed vocal cord, when he said, you can't do it, he said that once in the middle of a show. I don't know why he didn't say it a number of other times.
That was about as bad as I got during the paralyzed vocal cord thing. I'm like, this information would have been useful 40 minutes ago.
I took the headphones and I didn't slam them, but I gave them an aggressive toss. And barring that, I don't think it's happened in probably a dozen years or so, maybe. When I was with Spiegs, I probably threw something.
So not since your mid-40s?
Yeah.
What an evolved human.
I didn't see the light until I was 46 in many ways. 46. Good. And then continued growth after that. Hopefully you always keep growing.
Yeah,
y'always.
That's the goal. Y'always? Yeah. How do you spell y'always?
Ask Tony Romo.
Okay. You're way out of line on Romo, by the way.
About what?
He's a good broadcaster. He's calling out Steve Spagnuolo, putting out the goal line defense at the 40-yard line.
He has moments. Obviously, he's a good broadcaster. References. ESPN would never overspend for talent, would it?
Well, hey, I think you'd be better served at ESPN.
I think it would be good for Monday Night Football. You know I've been wanting Marquee. I can't bitch about them hiring Romo. Because he is clearly that. He's been a number one for 3 years now on CBS. It is an upgrade. He is a household name. He is fun. He enjoys his job. He is usually very successful at predicting plays based on tendencies he's seen on film. He has a ton of attributes.
Yeah.
He often shows his horrible inexperience and his language skills are not satisfactory for a guy in those headphones.
Language skills.
Yes, they're important.
They matter more, in my opinion, for the broadcaster.
He is a broadcaster.
The analyst, though. Play by play.
Because he's a jock, it's okay to be a dope?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Conversational. He's conversationally explaining technical terms in football. So when he's telling me that the Titans are showing a man-to-man front, but then they're dropping into a cover three zone and Mahomes is beating it by recognizing that post-snap and taking off and scrambling, I don't need his syntax to be perfect when he's explaining
that
to me.
I don't expect him to go by every look. English is a complicated language. I don't expect him to not split verbs or, not end a sentence in a preposition, but I do expect him to articulate when the word especially irritates me. That's not it's acceptable for the guy at the Shell station when you go in and buy a lottery ticket and get a tank of gas.
I feel like we're picking nits though. Like, so he mispronounced a word in a 3.5-hour broadcast in front of 50 million people. Do you know how many mistakes you and I make?
I won't say especially. I just, you know, he could use.
So that's the mistake that's unacceptable.
He could use an upgrade in language skills. That's all.
All right. Yeah. I put him on every Super Bowl as far as I'm concerned. That's why I don't think he'll go to ESPN.
This is going to be great, Jim.
Can't do. Oh, he gets it.
There's a chance that Kansas City scores 600-700 points in this half. They're just that good that they could really pull it off. They're incredibly amazing and incredibly amazing. And just, I just love watching them. I want to kiss him. I want to hug him and just make him my best friends ever.
Frank Caliendo's Tony Romo.
It's not bad.
That's really good.
I was wondering if he was miking up my living room during the second half of that game. That was confusing. This segment brought to you by your Chicagoland Papa John's. The new extra cheesy Alfredo pizza from Papa John's has all the craveable and flavorable goodness you want from a pizza. Extra cheese in a three cheese blend with Alfredo sauce and garlic parmesan crust. Try it just for $10 today. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. It's also time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is PAD. Text PAD, P-A-D. PAD to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is PAD to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. We can point and laugh a little bit at the Green Bay Packers. I know people always enjoy that, even if I have been away for a while. That never goes out of style. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.